1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you again for our time tonight. We're thankful for your word and how practical it is and how we can apply it to our lives and that you can change our lives through your word. And Lord, that is our desire tonight, that we would be changed by what we hear tonight. Lord, that we wouldn't be the same when we go out, but that you would have done a work in our hearts and in our lives. And we come before you tonight asking for that because we know that we can't do that by ourselves and that we need your Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. So we ask that you do that this evening, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're continuing on in our series, Surviving by Faith. And we're looking at Elijah, and later we'll look, Lord willing, we'll look at Elisha. We're looking at Elijah and all the trials that he went through, the different circumstances, and we're talking about how he literally was surviving many of these times by his faith. Where it wasn't just that he was living by faith, but many times his very life was threatened by circumstances or by Ahab and Jezebel. And it was just by faith that he was surviving and making it from time to time and event to event. And we're going to look at this passage tonight, and I want to see faith's testimony, or the testimony of faith. Every so often I receive opportunities by way of email. And you have to be careful when somebody tells you about an opportunity that they have for you. And it seems like, for whatever reason, when they use the word opportunity, that it's more beneficial to them, this opportunity for you, than it always is to you. And you've probably gotten these emails, right, where it's this great opportunity for you to make free money. And there's these scams that go around. One is that you are a beneficiary to a will that you knew nothing about, or a relative that you knew nothing about. And all you have to do is send this person your bank account information, and they'll be sure to put the money in there for you. And yeah, I know, what a great opportunity. I don't know why more people aren't going for that. And there's lots of these scams out there, right, where it's this opportunity for you to get free money in this way. And you can get them, you know, over the phone and email and all these sorts of things. And what you end up finding is that these opportunities end up causing a lot of trouble for you, and they don't really work out so well. And sometimes we talk in the Christian life about opportunities for you to exercise your faith. And yet when we're in the midst of one of these opportunities, we find it's a lot of trouble, right? And sometimes we say, is it worth the trouble, right, to go through this as an opportunity for me to strengthen my faith? Right? Sometimes we would almost look at them and in a fleshly sense say, I would rather not. You know, I'd rather just not have to go through this and have the same faith as before than to go through this and have an opportunity for my faith to be strengthened. But that's what it was for this widow woman. It was another opportunity for her to see God work, but it was an opportunity for Elijah, who was really just an onlooker in this trial. And yes, he had a part in it, but it was an opportunity for him to show his faith. And it was a real testimony of the strength of Elijah's faith as he goes through this. And so I want to see that this evening, the testimony of our faith. First, I want to see the widow's trouble, this woman's trouble. In verse 17 and 18, It says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the widow of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? If we remember from the beginning of the chapter, they were in the middle of this drought and a famine because of that. So they're already going through this, right, this difficult time. But the Lord was providing. God had brought Elijah to this different place, into this different person, to this woman's house. And God used Elijah to provide and to meet her needs. So they had this barrel of meal and it never ran out. They had the cruse of oil, never ran out. And they had enough food, even though there was this famine going on. But then, after God had provided for that, then we have this account where her son falls sick and dies. It says there's no breath left in him. And that's the idea of like his spirit departed. So he passed away, he fell sick, and died. Now, as we look at this woman, we don't really find, we get the impression that she was a good woman, right? That she was a good person. And that brings up the question that many people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Because when we look at this woman, from the last account, she was willing to give up her last meal to Elijah, to this man of God. She was willing to sacrifice her last food, the last that she had for her and her son, and give it to Elijah. And I think that qualifies her as to be considered a good woman, at least in an earthly sense, you understand. And so she was a good person. She knew about the Lord, and it seemed like she was willing to follow Elijah as he followed the Lord in all of this. And she continued to provide for Elijah and allow him to stay there and give him a room in her house. And yet all of a sudden she's going through this horrible tragedy in her life. And you have to ask why, right? Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, we understand, as you know, having learned about the Bible and going through the Word of God, that no one's perfect, right? So even though we look at her and we see that she was a good woman, we do understand that she was not perfect, that she was sinful as Elijah was, as we are, as any individual is. But despite that, she was still a good woman, right? And yet, why did God allow this to happen to her? And sometimes, and we have this all through Scripture, sometimes God allows bad things to happen to good people. We can look in Mark chapter 4, and we have the account of the well, let's turn there. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. It's the disciples, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So he says to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And they're following his word. That's the whole reason they get in this boat. That's the whole reason they cross the Sea of Galilee, is Jesus said to. So they're doing what God had told them to do. And then, verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And as they're crossing, they're afraid for their life. And these weren't individuals like me who have not spent a lot of time out on the sea. Right? They knew what they were doing out there. They'd been in boats plenty of times. They knew how to handle themselves. And yet they were afraid that they were going to die because of the fierceness of this storm. And so they cry out and they say, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? And the whole reason they were in that situation is because they were obeying God. And yet God allowed that to happen in their life. We can talk about Job. The first verse of the book of Job says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And Job went through horrible things that the Lord allowed him to go through. So it's not that the only bad things that happen to bad people. God allows good people to go through things and to suffer and go through tribulation. And we understand that that trials are a part of how God works, right? When you do a job, you have your different tools for different things. God has different tools for working in our lives. One of them is trials, and that's what he uses sometimes. And God, in his infinite wisdom, knows when that's the right tool for the job in our life, and we don't. But he does that lovingly, and because he cares for us, that he uses trials in our life. And so back in 1 Kings chapter 17, she asked this question in verse 18. She said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And she was understandably very upset at this time. And so she asked the question that basically says, Elijah, did you come here so that the Lord would punish me for my sin by taking my son? So she basically is saying, is it my fault, right? Did my son die because it's my fault? That's what she was asking. And you have to understand the real grief that she was going through to ask this question. But she finds out, as we go down through, that the answer is no, right? That it wasn't that God was punishing her sin by taking the life of her son. It wasn't that. And we understand about the fact that God punishes sin, right? And that sin deserves to be punished, right? And we understand God's judgment and how that works, that God's a just judge and holy. And sometimes in Scripture, we tend to almost deify the men and the women in Scripture, right? We look at Paul and Scripture doesn't point out a lot of Paul's faults and Paul's sins. And so we go through, we talk about how great Paul was and how strong his faith was and how great of a church planner he was and how everything about Paul that we know is really great. And he was an incredible Christian. But yet we also understand that Paul was a man like everyone else. We go through and we look at these different men of Scripture, like Joseph, who went through so much and was just trusted God. We see he was a great man, great faith, but he was still a sinner, like everyone. And we can go through and look at all the men and all the women of Scripture and understand that they were sinners. And God does punish sin. We know that's a very true fact about who God is. And that really, though, that leads us to the blessing part, that God sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sins, and that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. And this woman had to trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, right? Looking forward toward the Messiah, the same as any person has to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And here she was facing this tragedy and wondering why. You know, why? And that's, it's a natural thing to ask in trials and tragedies, is why did God do this? And she came back to this and said, is it because of me? Is it something I have done? Is it something I should have done differently and that would have changed this, right? If I hadn't sinned, if I hadn't, whatever came to her mind, right? And the answer was no. That's not the reason that God allowed your son to die. And many people ask that question, why does God allow good things or bad things to happen to good people? And why is there pain? Why is there suffering in the world? And it usually is very personal, right? Why am I having to go through pain and suffering, right? And it can be, what have I done? And generally when people ask, they want a really specific reason, like, right, for their life. Why in my life? Why has God allowed this to happen? And, you know, generally we can talk about how it's because of sin, right? And sin entered the world and all the effects of the curse and all of that happened. But many times specifically, we don't know. And there's a lot of times where we never know why God has allowed something to happen in someone's life. Some trial, whatever it might be that you're going through, we can't always say exactly why. And really the best thing is just to remember who God is in those instances. And remember God's unfailing love, right? That he never does not love you, no matter how it might look or how it might feel. And that God always cares, and he always has a plan, and God's way is always best. And for this lady at this time, right, as we end in verse 18, she was asking this question. She wanted to know why. Was it her fault? And we know the answer is no. And really at this point, she didn't have an answer why God had brought this into her life and why God had allowed this to happen. And really why she associated with Elijah, right? Why Elijah had kind of brought this upon her. So we see, number one, the woman's trouble. But this opened up this opportunity, right, for Elijah to show his faith. And that's what I want to see. The second point is Elijah's testimony. Elijah's testimony, verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Elijah's testimony. Now, I don't like to be put on the spot for things. That's not who I am. Some people are, they're really great, right? You put them on the spot and they're able to say something or do something and it works out great. And they're like good at that spontaneous sort of thing. I'm not. I've got to have a plan. I've got to have like, I don't know, a month, right, to get ready for something. That's how I like. I don't like being put on the spot for things. This is not how I work. The Lord hasn't blessed me with that ability, I guess. Elijah here, he's put on the spot, right? And she comes to him and says, what's going to happen? And basically, what are you going to do? And Elijah, he had to do something. And so he takes the child, right? And he, verse 19, he says, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And so Elijah says, here, give me your son. And so he takes the body of her son and goes up to his room and lays him upon the bed. And I think there's a neat application here for us as Christians. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I like the picture here of Elijah taking this, taking her son, right? And the idea is bearing her burden for her, that he was doing what he could to help out as a man of God, as someone who knew the Lord. He was doing his part to help her out in her time of tribulation. And that's what the Bible tells us to do, right? To bear one another's burdens. We have a responsibility as Christians, as part of this church, to help each other out in whatever way that we can in a time of trial. And I know sometimes it's difficult and you say, what can I do, right, in different times? Sometimes it's, you know, obvious that there's ways you can help. Sometimes it's not. And you say, I don't know what to do. But that should really be our mindset, right? How can I help in these times? Not like I'm going to distance myself, you know, I'm going to let them deal with it or someone else deal with it. But what can I do? What can I do to help out and help bear that burden? And Elijah does that. And really, one of the best things we can do, the best thing we can do, is to pray. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So, continually pray. Which means, as I interpret it, there is no wrong time to pray. There's never a bad time to pray. There's never a time where you'll say, oh man, I shouldn't pray about this, or I shouldn't be praying for this, or this is not a good time to pray. There's bad times to close your eyes and pray, but we can pray with our eyes open, and we can pray all the time. And that's something that no matter what someone else might be going through, and you know, it doesn't matter how much you know about that situation or how little you know about that situation, God knows everything. And we can bring one another and our burdens before the Lord. And that's a great way that we can help. And that's essentially what Elijah does, right? He brings her burden and lays him before the Lord. And that's our responsibility as Christians. And you know, it can be a great encouragement to tell someone that you're praying for them in addition. Not in like a proud way, right? Like I've been praying for you and my prayer is gonna fix everything. But in a humble way, that the idea is to be an encouragement to them. And you've been there, right? When you've been going through something and someone has told you, I'm praying for you, and you understand what an encouragement that is. And how it's nice to know that you're not alone and that people care and that they care about whatever it is you're going through. Because sometimes we feel alone, right? When you're going through something and you can feel like it's just you by yourself going through this. And it's nice to know that people are praying for you. And that's one thing that we can do no matter what someone's going through, That's a way that we can bear one another's burdens, is by praying for them. And so Elijah takes this woman's son and lays him before the Lord in verse 19. And then in verse 20, it says, he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. So verse 20, he asked kind of a similar question that she asked. Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And it almost sounds like he's saying, is it because of me? Right? Is it because I'm here that you brought this upon her? And looking at it maybe from Elijah's perspective, right? He's the one who brought the famine into the land and the drought, right? It's because of him that the rain stopped, and now here he is in this woman's house, and this has happened. But in verse 21, he cries unto the Lord, said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And this was, so he turns to God in faith and asks the Lord to help. And he asks the Lord that he would revive this child. And this was an incredible act of faith on Elijah's part, because this is the first time that any person was brought back to life. As far as we know, and as far as is recorded in Scripture, this had never happened before. So here was Elijah praying to God for something that God had never done before, that had never happened. And that was an incredible act of faith for Elijah. It's nice that we can, you know, in our times, we can look back and see how all the great things that God had done and say, you know what, if God provided financially for this person, then I know that God can provide for me. And we can base our faith on truth that we've heard that God has done before. You know, if God can do it then, God can do it now. Elijah really didn't have that. He couldn't look back and say, well, you know, I remember that God has revived this person in the past or brought this person back to life. Here he was praying for something that had never happened before. And something like that, I think of the questions that would go through my mind. Like, is it possible? Right? I know God can do anything, but I don't know, is this something that God does? Like, with all the idea of that person in heaven and then coming back? Like, I don't know. Right? These would be the questions that I would be thinking kind of as I'm praying this, or maybe before I pray. Like, is this something that even God would do? Or you know, we know God can do anything, but would he do this? But faith isn't afraid to ask for big things. Right? That's what faith is. And Jesus Christ talks about a faith that can move mountains. Right? That's a big thing. And faith isn't afraid to ask for big things. But faith does it the right way, right? In praying for the will of God. But asking for big things. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But it's more than just ask. It's also asking in faith, isn't it? That's what we're talking about, Elijah's faith. Not only asking, but believing that God is not only able, but that God could do this, right? That he would do this for us. And we need to ask in faith, and have a faith that's not afraid to ask for maybe things that we don't know if it's even possible, right? If this could even happen. But not be afraid to go to God with those things. And Elijah believed. He believed God could do this. He believed that God was able to bring this child back to life. And it was a great opportunity for Elijah to not only talk about his faith, but show his faith. And for that woman to see Elijah's faith in action. And our entire life is an opportunity for us to show our faith, and then through that to show what God is able to do. Because that's the point, right, of our testimony of our faith. It's not to show that we have some great faith or some supernatural faith or that we're some giant of the faith. It's to show God. It's to show what God is able to do when we just simply trust in him. And it really shows how small we are compared to how great our God is, because it shows we're not able, but God certainly is. And so it was a great opportunity for Elijah, to have this testimony of his faith. But then I want to see number three, not only the woman's trouble, not only Elijah's testimony, but I want to see the widow's realization. the woman's realization. In verse 23, in verse 22, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Her realization. She learned some things. Right? This was an opportunity for her to learn about God through all of this. And we need to make sure that we're not never too old to learn or too mature to learn in the faith. Or really what it comes down to probably is too proud to learn. Right? They say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Hopefully we're smarter than canines, right? And we're able to understand the value of continuing to learn. And there's so many opportunities in life for us to learn from what God does in our life and also from how we see other people. When we see other people exercise their faith and we see God work, it can be an opportunity for us to learn some things. And the woman learned of Elijah's faith and the power of faith. She really saw faith in action again. She had seen it before, right, when God had provided and had continued to provide on a daily basis for her. Now there's just another opportunity, and I think an even greater miracle of God. And she saw how Elijah's faith and how God worked through that. And people all around us need to see our faith. They need to see our faith. And when we talk about people seeing our faith, faith is kind of an invisible thing, right? It's not like, I don't know, a figurine or something you put on your shelf. Right, it's something spiritual. It's not something you can see. But what they can see is the results of our faith. Right, they can see how our faith and our simple trust in God affects us. And one way, one large way, is through the peace that God gives to us. Turn to Philippians. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Because when we trust in God, He gives us a peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So when we're careful for nothing, but in everything, when we bring our requests before God in faith, and we just trust God with those things. In simple faith and simple prayer, we cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us, and we leave them with Him, then God is able to give us a peace. And that's something that's visible. Right? And you've seen it in your own life, you've seen it in other people's lives, just the peace that God is able to give in situations where there really shouldn't be peace, right? In a worldly sense. In a physical sense, where they need to be, you would almost say they need to be worried about some things, and they need to be getting these things and fixing these things, and yet God just gives us a peace. And He says, you wait on me, and you trust in me, and I'll take care of things. And there's that calmness and the peace that God gives. And that's a very visible result of our faith, that God is able to give calmness in uncalm and in distressing situations. That God's able to just instill in our hearts a quietness and a peace. And if we remember back in Mark chapter 4, when the disciples were on the sea, right in the middle of that storm, what was Jesus Christ doing? Asleep. And that's that picture of peace in the midst of these times. The peace that Jesus Christ had and that God gives to us when we're not trusting in ourselves, but when we simply trust in God. That's what people need to see, is just peace in our life. But then another result of faith is the idea of answered prayer. When we bring our requests before the Lord and God answers those things. And God works in miraculous ways that we're able to see and that other people are able to see. And we have an opportunity when we pray about things for God to give us a testimony of our faith and what God has done because we trusted in Him. And people can see that. And that's what we mean by showing our faith, is not just telling people that we're trusting, but showing them in the results that faith brings in our life, the peace and the answered prayer. And so she saw Elijah's faith. She was able to see God work in that way. But in verse 24, she says this. The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So again, she was convinced of the truth of what Elijah said as a man of God, because she saw that God's power was upon Elijah's life. That it wasn't just Elijah spouting words that he had come up with, but it was really the words of God, because it was backed up with the working of God in Elijah's life and in her life as well. And it was backed up with proof. And in this day and age, it's healthy to have a dose of skepticism about a lot of things, isn't it? The news you hear or you read online, it's good to be a little skeptical of some things. And we found that you can't just believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you read. You know, the term fake news is everywhere. And you have to be careful. It's good to be a little skeptical and wait maybe and see some proof of some things. And people are that way when it comes to religion, too. You can say all you want about who God is and what Christ has done, but you know what? They want to see it, don't they? They want to see a change. People want to see that it actually does something, that it's not reciting words or just, you know, saying things, but that God actually has the power to change and to work, because that's what people want. They don't want to just say things. They want God to do something, and they want to be able to see that in our life. And that's what we can be, right? We can be a walking testimony and proof of the power of God, the proof of the power of God to change us. And that's a powerful thing, our testimony, when we can say, "I was this way and God changed me." Right? I used to be this way, and now God has made a difference in my life. And that's a powerful thing that we can testify of God's working in our life. And when we preach the gospel, our life should be proof that backs up what we're saying. And so she looked at Elijah, and she not only, she was able to see that the words he said were actually the words of God because of the power of God in his life. But then she also understood the forgiveness of God. And this goes back to the question that she asked when she said, is it because of my sin? Or have you come to call my sins to remembrance and to take my son? And I believe she began to understand the forgiveness of God. That sin, while it has a punishment and while there's the judgment of God, there's also the forgiveness of God. That sin that is in our past, when God forgives that, he forgets. Right? And the Bible says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And that's the promise of God. And God's able to forgive all our sin. And what a blessing it is. Right? David said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." I think I might have messed that up, but it's pretty close. Right? And happy is the man that God forgives his sin, right? That his account is cleansed, that his sin is washed away. Happy is that man. And I'm thankful that God takes not only our sin away, but he's also able to remove the guilt of our sin and the pressure that our mistakes place upon our life. When God forgives our sin, he also can remove that guilt from our life. And we can stand before the Lord knowing that we're cleansed, knowing that our sins are forgiven and our sins are washed away. And that's the blessing of forgiveness. And I think she came to understand that no, God wasn't bringing back her sins from the past onto her. But if she had trusted in Christ, and it seems like she was a believer, right, that she trusted in the Messiah, that her sins were forgiven, that her sins were covered in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ. And that it wasn't God just bringing her sins back upon her life and punishing her for those, but her sins that God had forgiven were remembered no more, that God had chosen not to bring those back onto her life. And so she learned about the forgiveness of God. And it was a great opportunity for her to learn some things. And as Elijah, through his faith, was able to see God work, this woman also realized some things. She saw Elijah's faith. She understood that the words Elijah said were true. They were from God, and she saw and understood the forgiveness of sins. And so it was this opportunity, this testimony of faith. And faith is very useful. Faith is very practical. Faith is very applicable to our lives. It's not some just some idea or some thought that's interesting but is not useful. But it's something that is that impacts us every day of our life if we allow it to, right? If we choose to trust in God. It's something that can really affect every part and every moment of our life. And God gives us opportunities throughout life to practice our faith. And in reality, our entire life, right, is one big opportunity to practice our faith. But then there's other times where it's, right, the Bible talks about us being the light of the world, where it seems like our life is just darker. And God gives us an opportunity for our light to shine brighter because of the darkness that's going on. Where the difficulty of our life allows us to just be a brighter testimony because of our faith. Not because of our own strength, not because of our own ability, but because we're trusting in God, right? We've attached ourselves to the strength of Jesus Christ, and it's that that allows us to shine brightly in these dark times. And God gives us those times, and it's for us to take advantage of those times and to use those times and allow our faith to be a testimony. Because the things that God allows us to go through, yes, God, it's working in our life, but He also cares about those around us. And He gives us those opportunities for us to grow and for us to be a testimony. And that's what our faith can be. Our faith can be an incredible testimony in those dark times, an incredible light that shows how great our God is. Let's close with prayer.